Just wanted to inform you all that the food, it all tastes wonderful. Okay, it smells wonderful, all right? That's a downside to having your office near where all the food is stored. Yeah, and bringing it. It's like, oh, mayonnaises. I had to get out of the building. I don't know how the kids are going to make it over there. Because it all smells like cookies. I don't care what. It's all coming together and it smells like cookies. Yeah, am I getting you stirred up yet? Getting your... Well, hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to just take a little... I try to be obedient to the Lord. When he tells me to preach something, I preach it, even if I'm in the middle of something else. So this morning, I'm going to preach a message entitled, When God is Silent. Has anybody ever had that up that time when God just isn't saying anything to you? Well, I'm glad to see that. I'm seeing a lot of heads shaking, yeah. Because I was like, God, am I the only one who you're quiet, that you give the cold shoulder to sometimes? At least that's what it feels like, right? Like, God, I'm asking you, how about talking to me? He's not saying anything. And so when we are experiencing that, God has already told us something. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look here. I said, Lord, I need some scriptural proof in this. Not because there's a lot of people that won't believe something's God unless you can point it out in the Bible. Well, do you think God created the atom? A-T-O-M, not A-D-A-M. Well, yeah. You would have to believe that he created the atom. Show it to me in the Bible where he created the atom. But he did. There's a lot of things we don't understand about God. We're just now starting to get more of a revelation. And so I said, Lord, I would really like to... I need some scripture to get going on this. Well, he said, well... Let's start in the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to read 1 through 7. So now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field. Somebody say the serpent. Serpent. How many of you have heard taught that it was the devil? Most of us has heard that it was taught that it was the devil who deceived him. Well, we'll stop right there, and I want to go over here real quick in verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent... Who did he curse? He cursed the serpent. He didn't curse the devil. He cursed the serpent. The serpent did this of his own free will. Now, let's go on. I like pointing that out because if you start getting out of the religious mindset that the world has taught, that an ignorant religious world has taught, you'll start getting a revelation of God in the Bible. They teach today that God doesn't heal. There are some doctrines that are teaching Jesus already returned. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not what my Bible says. And it's not the revelation that I've received from the Word. So, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He spoke a half-truth here. He deceived her with his words. Because guess what God said? Man has become like us. He knew that. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. You know, for people to think that Adam and Eve were stupid Neanderthals, like cavemen, how did they know to sew? I mean, come on. They took fig leaves. Now, I'm assuming fig leaves were bigger, because I'm always picturing fig leaves as being about the size of a fig. So apparently they were a little bigger, because otherwise, man, I'd have went and found a a burdock leaf or something, you know, that's big. Man, I ain't sewing all them little tiny leaves together, you know what I'm saying? So, some things we need to look at here. First off is the Holy Spirit was present with Adam and Eve. We cannot for 1 minute think that God would be with them face to face and withhold his Holy Spirit. There was no reason for the Holy Spirit not to be there. It was only until, I believe it's Genesis 6, when God was about to destroy the earth, that he said, "My spirit shall no longer strive." That word means abide. Now, it's kind of up in limbo here as for exactly what he was speaking of. Because he said later on in that verse, he says, "For man's day shall be 120 years. A lot of people take that, well, yeah, it's 120 years. From the flood on, man's time went downhill. But even as far as up to Abraham, and even a little further, they were up to 175 years still. And right now, I think the oldest living person is only 110 now. Couple weeks ago, it was up to 115. So we have yet to break the 120 barrier. We're coming back up, but we're not going to break that 120 barrier because God has limited it. But what he's talking about, that abide means, the word is actually meaning to dwell with. See, at this point, God's Holy Spirit was no longer poured out on mankind. If God's Holy Spirit was with you, it was with you. That was it. God's Spirit was with Moses. God's Spirit was with the prophet. It was with the man of God who was leading at that time. That's how it worked. Not everybody has the Holy Spirit like you and I have. We don't realize what a gift we have when we have the Holy Spirit. That he is with us. The very essence of God is with us. And my personal belief is why God pulled the Holy Spirit is because of the evil that man would be creating. He would always be thinking of evil. If you want, most of us in here know this, that the one sin that is unforgivable is speaking against the Holy Spirit. You speak against God, he'll forgive you. You speak against Jesus, the Son of God, he'll forgive you. But you speak against the Holy Spirit of God, your butt's cooked. That's all there is to it. And so God prizes the Holy Spirit. Why is it we don't? We do not prize the Holy Spirit, but God does. Gentlemen, let me give you an example. Your wife, do you prize her? Will you fight for her? I hope. If you're any kind of man, if you're in this church and you don't, then I need to spend some time with you one-on-one and teach you what it is to be a man. Even the world knows that when a man loves a woman, he'd give anything to be with her. I love those songs. To really love a woman, you'd give your own life. That's the way God feels about the Holy Spirit. So he would have given Adam and Eve the Holy Spirit just like we had. We have the Holy Spirit living with. The Holy Spirit was here. The Holy Spirit was the first thing here at the earth. The Bible says in Genesis 1, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit was here. Never said he took it away. So the Holy Spirit was with Adam and Eve while they were standing in the middle of the garden, which is, by the way, where they were at. They had to be in the middle because that's where the tree was at. That word midst means in the middle. Now the serpent went to Eve, and it was strategic. He said he was more cunning. In other words, he thought about this. He figured it out. He planned it out. He schemed his whole thing out of how he was going to trip Adam and Eve up. And he went to Eve. There's a reason why he went to Eve. Everybody said, well, yeah, according to the scripture, woman is the weaker vessel in that. Physically, women, you are weaker than most men. Right? Unless you're a bodybuilder, and then I'm going to just tell you, you're probably still not as strong. You may have biceps like this. To which I say, ooh. My dad told me, never date a girl that can beat you up. I took that to heart. But the reason he went to Eve is because Eve had received the order from God from Adam. Want the proof? Genesis 1:29. Actually, let's just turn there real quick. Genesis 1:29. It says, "And God said, See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields to it you shall be your food." Verse 30, and he goes on, I lost it. Anyhow, Adam had been given the order, and he passed it down. Okay. He passed that down to Eve. If I give, I'll give you an example. If I give my two sons an order, but I tell Joshua to tell Jesse, anybody ever had this experience with your children? You tell one to tell the other, what happens with the other one? They don't respect it quite as well. But if you tell them both directly, they both have the same fear instilled in them. And I'm talking the shaking and trembling and the great respect. But if I tell Joshua to go tell Jesse something, guess what I end up with? I end up with Jesse bucking against Joshua. Who are you to tell me? Well, yeah, you told the rules. So, and when I hear this, all I got to do is raise my voice, and it suddenly gets quiet in the rebellious realm. And so this is why the serpent went to Eve. Well, Adam told you, so you know, you're believing this as the gospel, but take a look at it again. It's good to eat. Now, here's what was happening. Adam was sitting over, maybe this was the seventh day. They were slumbering, hopefully. Maybe they were resting. That's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to work their 6 days and then relax. Let their bodies recuperate. So maybe that's what's happening here. Seventh day, Adam's kicked back underneath the banana tree. And Eve's over here, serpent standing there talking to her. We always see the serpent curled around a tree, but the Bible says that it wasn't until after the curse that he went on his belly. And even scientists, it's just the church that refuses to accept physical evidence that, yeah, we've even got snakes today, they say, had legs. They call it evolution, we call it the curse. You want to call that evolution, that you go from walking to your belly? I thought evolution was supposed to be a progression of good things. That's going backwards. So, anyhow, which totally disproves evolution. So what we got is Adam and Eve are sitting in the garden, maybe on a day they aren't supposed to be. Or maybe it is the day they're supposed to be. We don't know. But anyhow, Adam's sitting here watching. He's within earshot of this whole thing. He's sitting there. He's watching what happens. He sees Eve eat the fruit. Eve turns around, walks over to him, says, "Adam, look, this is good." He looks at it. Yeah, he can see maybe a little bit of the juice dripping out of the corner of her mouth, and she's not dead. He says in his mind, Eve isn't dead. Deductive reasoning. She's not dead. Apparently, it's not true. Now, let me tell you what, two things he did. He used the deductive reasoning of mankind. We have deductive reasoning. And to a degree, certain animals have deductive reasoning. But there's also this other thing that's called animal instinct, which is what mankind keeps trying to go back and grip hold of, that we're animals. We are not animals. Our sex lives are not ruled to be like animals. No part of our life is to be ruled like an animal. But here's Adam sitting back with his deductive reasoning, but he allowed the whole thing to happen. Anybody in here ever hunted a deer? A few of us in here hunted deer? Yeah. Did you shoot the first deer that walked out into the opening? Did you shoot little Bambi? Some of you may have. Did you shoot the doe? Now, if you're hunting for food, you're going to shoot the doe because it's there. If you're hunting for the food, you may shoot the little buck that walks out first. But see, I never hunted for the food. Now, I would eat it. I did live by that. If I shoot it, I'm going to eat it. So I was very particular on what I was going to hunt. I didn't want Bambi, and I didn't want Bambi's mama. I wanted Bambi's papa, the prince of the forest. You know, the guy that's walking around with a tree on top of his head? That's the one I was after. Deer have this tendency, these big bucks, there's a reason they're big. They stay in the shrubs and in the bushes while the young bucks and the does run out and get shot first because somebody can't wait. And that's exactly what Adam did. He heard the whole thing. He said, well, we're going to find out. He started acting like the very creation he was supposed to have dominion over. That's what happens to us today. We act like the creation we are supposed to be having dominion over. We are not animals. People can say that they're homosexuals. Well, I was just born this way. It's, you know, well, animals will even turn homosexual in certain cases. Yeah, I've seen bulls jumping each other and heifers jumping each other. We are not bovine. We are not animals. We are not supposed to act like them. We are above them. God said, told the serpent, you are cursed more than all the beasts of the field. You're cursed more than the cattle. They had 4 points on the ground. We have 2. We are the only creature that can maintain a 2-point stance on the earth. We're the only ones. Monkeys. Well, a monkey can walk. Yeah, but he's not designed to walk like that very long, now is he? You weren't designed to have 4 points on the earth. God told the serpent, he said, now you are cursed more than anything on the face of the earth because on your belly you will be. Lay down on the ground, folks, and tell me how many points you got on the earth. You are in total contact with the ground. So this thing got cursed because of that. Now, I believe that if Eve had received the order directly from God, she wouldn't have been as easily deceived. She'd have had a little more fear instilled in her. Now, my boys, if I tell one to do something and he's supposed to spread it to the others, again, one who hears the direct command, he was there when I gave the emphasis, you shall die. That's what God told him. Okay. I just tell him, the life as you know it will end. That's how I put it sometimes. Now, we know the Holy Spirit was with them because in verse 7, what happened? Their eyes were opened. Now, Pastor, I don't prove that the Holy Spirit was with them. Well, you got to go to John 16, verses 8 through 9. It says that Jesus said, and when he has come, referring to the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's job is to convict the world of sin. Who do you think it is that convicts you when you sin? The devil condemns you. In condemnation, there is no hope. Conviction, there's hope. Conviction says, repent and turn away from it. Condemnation says, I have screwed up royally and there's no way back. And so, when we're convicted, it's the Holy Spirit. That was his job then. Because you got to keep in mind, folks, the Bible says Jesus was slain from the foundations of the earth. In other words, when God was making the very core of this earth, the very core of our entire solar system, our universe, he already knew what was going to happen. He knew Satan was going to rebel. He knew that Jesus was going to have to come and was the only way to redeem all this. He knew all that. Now, don't go getting into some philosophical debate that's induced by your past years of smoking pot of, well, why didn't God just stop it? Because God created something that he loved that he wanted to love back. If you have to force somebody to love you, they don't love you. But if they give it freely, they love you. You know, maybe if you had a pet, particularly if you caught a wild animal when you were younger, maybe your parents said you have to release it. But if you release it and it comes back to you, then it's yours. It means it loves you. You've probably seen it in movies. I know I have. Well, that's the same thing. God said, I want man to love me. The angels, they can't comprehend what we are, of what we are made of, the ability to love God. They do it. It's an automatic thing. They either do it or they don't. That's it. They can't express that love. And that's what separates us. Adam showed he did not believe what God had said by eating of it. When he did, the Holy Spirit convicted him of that sin. Instantly, his eyes were open and he realized, I'm naked. Was it a sin to be naked? No. But what sin did was started to reveal things. And the Holy Spirit convicted him they'd done wrong. Because why else would you go cover yourself and then go hide when you hear the sound of the Lord walking in the garden? I mean, you got to stop and think about that for just a second. The sound of God walking through a garden. What did it sound like that they heard it? Did it sound like a big dinosaur coming through the trees like we would imagine? Was it a processional of trumpets? Or was there just such a silence that there was no sound as all creation bowed in awe? We don't know what it was, but it got Adam and Eve's attention and they went and hid themselves because they were now ashamed of what they had done. The Holy Spirit had convicted them. See, God is here all the time. He allows us to make decisions. Adam and Eve made their decision. They made the wrong decision. But God already knew they were going to do that. So here's the question. Why didn't God speak up at the time when she was about to eat the fruit? Why didn't he? It's real simple. Here's the answer. They already knew what the answer was. They already knew that what they were about to do was wrong. If I tell my sons, you don't drive my truck, and Joshua and Jesse go out there and they start my truck and they take off down the driveway and down the street, the second they were taking the keys out of the box, they knew that they were wrong. The second. I didn't have to be there reminding them that they were doing wrong. I don't have to tell Joshua that he can't do that. Why? Because Joshua knows that by law, he's not allowed to be on the road. I let him drive my truck in the driveway. He pulls it around here for me. He drives them at the farm. Those are fine places he's allowed to do that. But he is not allowed to get on the road and drive from Mount Gilead to Johnsville. Because he's not licensed. I think he could probably do it pretty good. But that's immaterial. The fact is, he knows better. Do you want to know why people do things that they know better than? Because they've quit living a life for somebody else and started looking at, I need the excitement in my life. You want excitement in your life? Start living your life for somebody else. You'll get plenty of excitement. There will be a new challenge every day. Trust me. If you think, I'll just go ahead and steal this car for a little joyride. Who are you focused on? Yourself. That's why kids do stupid things like that. They know it's wrong. Nobody has to tell them. They already know it. So when we're asking God things, why does he not come down and just give us the answer right off the bat? Because we already know the answer. God, will you give me a new wife? Will you give me a new husband? No. Because there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And you can't ask God to change the other person. You got to ask God to change you first. And once you've changed you, then he can start changing the other person. But you see, it's only when we start doing that. By the way, you want to know the right way out of a marriage? You got to die. It's cut and dry. That's it. There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. There's a right way to pull an engine out of a car, and there's a wrong way to pull an engine out of a car. There's a right way into a marriage, and there's a wrong way into a marriage. There's a right way out of it and a wrong way. The right way is one of you has to die. So until then, you learn to start praying for the other person, asking God to change you. Yeah, don't mean you go kill yourself. You don't go kill your spouse. I don't care how much that thought is entertained. God had already spoke to Adam and Eve and told them what he expected. Stop and think about that for just half a second. The only thing you ever needed to worry about was not touching that tree. Not touching one stinking tree on the entire face of the earth. I think I could figure out how to do that. I just won't go near it. You want to know how to stay away from alcohol? Don't go near it. Want to know how to stay away from loose women? Don't go near them. Want to know how to stay away from gigolos, ladies? Don't go near them, whether they charge you or not. That's what the world's raising right now. We're raising a generation of whores and gigolos. It's nothing anymore. They don't think twice about sex. Oh, yeah, we three or four of us had sex last week. And we wonder why STDs are on the rise again. Wonder why teen pregnancies are coming back up again. The world does not care. They're not convinced. They know what's right and they know what's wrong. Now, there are some things as children we need to be taught what's right and what's wrong. But for the most part, children know what's right and what's wrong. Why else would they hide? Why else did your toddler go hide when they pooped themselves? They knew they weren't supposed to do it. But they went and hid themselves in a closet and then come waddling out. And why is it that it always smells worse when at that stage in their life? I have yet to figure that out. But thank God we're past that. We get the nighttime issue down, we're done. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word," or "your commandment, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Your commandments have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We always try to think, well, your word have I hidden in my heart. That, you know, well, maybe if I memorize John 11:35, Jesus wept, I won't sin against God. What's that going to do you? Really, seriously. What good is memorizing Jesus wept going to do for you? That's not even something you should be concerned about. Because there, people have built an entire doctrine around that. Two words, Jesus wept. He was a man, of course he did. He had emotions. And at that particular time, he was ticked. And you know what they say about people who are crying when they're angry? Step aside, because somebody's about to die. He was mad. He was mad at the unbelief of the people that were around him. The religious people looked and said, oh, he loved him so much. Look, he's crying. Jesus was ticked. He's like, how long have I have to be with you to prove to you who I am and what I'm about to do? I'm about to raise the dead. Now, Adam had the command, do not even touch the tree. So did Eve. They already knew what to do. That's why the Holy Spirit wasn't standing there screaming and shouting. By the way, that's not the Holy Spirit's job. He's there to convict you of sin. He will nudge you, which I'm getting ahead of myself. John 16:13 says that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. When the Holy Spirit's with you, He's there to lead you into the truth of the situation. Ask Him for the advice. The first person you need to seek in any kind of counseling for advice, I don't care what it is. You want to purchase a new car, ask the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all truth. All truth. Holy Spirit, what is the truth about this vehicle? Holy Spirit will say, the car's been wrecked. Well, the Carfax is clean. Yeah, but look here, here, and here. It never got reported. See, I bought a truck. Great. I mean, it looked good. Sounded good. 350. All that big jazz. A couple years ago, I did a Carfax on it and found out it had been wrecked. I said, that explains why it didn't have the 305 it was supposed to have had in it. New engine, transmission, radiator. Found all of that out. But the dealer, oh yeah, look at this truck. New exhaust pipe. Oh, for crying out loud, anybody who's got half a brain does not wire an exhaust pipe up with coat hangers. They put a tailpipe on it, Jack. Tailpipe and a glass pack. It did sound good, but it wasn't a new exhaust. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Now, am I upset that it was wrecked? Oh, are you kidding me? Give me that 350 over at weaky, wimpy little 305 any day. I got the bigger transmission, the bigger motor, and I still got the truck. I wore it out. That truck worked hard. Excuse me. I got to dry something. Stuck in my gizzard. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12 says, verse 12 says, after that, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After that, after the fire, a still, small voice. That was God. Everybody's looking for God in a great big earthquake. They're looking for Him in a big whirlwind, a fire. They're looking at Him in great big things. And the Holy Spirit was a still, small voice. That word, still, small, literally means, let me get here, a delicate, whispering voice. A delicate. He talks to you softly. See, He's not there screaming like the serpent was. Eat, eat, eat. The Holy Spirit said, Eve, you know better. And left it at that. She went ahead and done it. Looked down, hey, I'm still alive. By the way, here's another misconception people have taught. There was never any death in the garden. Can I ask you a question? Then why did God tell them they would die if they had no concept of death? Do we understand death? Yeah, why? Because people and things die. Well, if people and things didn't die back then, or at least things, in their case, didn't die, why did God tell them they'd die? They'd have no concept of what death is. Who cares? If you don't have a concept of something that'll burn until you have experienced it or seen it, you don't know that something's going to burn you. If you don't have a concept of what speed is, you know, I can imagine the first, an old country guy, the first time, you know, he's transported into the future. 100 years after the invention of the automobile. Man, you know, 2003, well, the automobile was earlier, but 2003, you know, he suddenly got transformed from 1897, now he's in 2003. Fast to him is a quarter horse at full gallop. That's it. Running, 35, 40 miles an hour max, somewhere in that neighborhood. You bring him from there to here and say, we're going to go fast. He's like, oh yeah, I like going fast. Set him down in the seat of a Ferrari F40. He says, what is this box? Why are you putting me in here? Oh, just relax. You might want to put that seatbelt on and hold on to that handle. I don't have a concept of what we're about to do. Why? Why are you telling me this? Hey, what is that noise? You're at 40 gears, at 40 miles an hour as soon as you let off the clutch. By the time you're in fifth gear, you're at 150 miles an hour. By the way, the car's capable of 200 plus. And I've seen video of that car doing 200 plus. On highways. Which, here's the funny thing about that. The moron sold the video on the internet. The police in his country got a hold of it. Did some investigating. Showed up at his house and arrested him. He was in England. He was breaking the speed limit. Slightly. He's not going to have a concept of fast, because fast to him is a horse riding with one person on it, let alone something with four wheels. You throw a buggy on the back of a horse, they slow down significantly. I dare say some of our bicyclists could probably outrun them. Let alone taking him and say, oh, no, here's my version of a horseless, here's my carriage. He's going to get out of it with a whole new understanding of what fast is. So Adam and Eve had to understand death in order for this threat to have held any weight with them. By the way, it wasn't just a threat, it was a promise. That's the difference between a threat and a promise, right? Threat, you don't mean to see through. Promise, you're going to see it through. That's why I tell people, I don't make threats. I make you a promise. You hurt my family, I'm going to come for you. And as disciples said, and if I come, then pain is coming with me. I'm going to bring Phil. He just didn't know it. Anyhow, God was not in all of that. He will not stand by screaming. You will get that gentle nudge, and after that, he's going to let you make your decision. He will never. God will never force you to love him. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, I think it's hilarious that we're talking about in John right here. Because, you know, everybody's like, oh, the commandments, I got to go back and remember all the commandments. The Ten Commandments. Oh, no. Don't worry yourself about the Old Testament commandments. Okay? Well, Pastor, don't you think we ought to live? Yes, I do. But those aren't the commandments you need to focus yourself about, worry about. Jesus, they tried to trick Jesus. Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, here's the greatest. To love the Lord your God, spirit, soul, and body. That's everything you're made up of. You are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. He said, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. When he said it's like it, they carry the same weight. Is what he was saying. They didn't want to hear that one. Those are the commandments Jesus said. Those are the most important things. Would you do those? As a matter of fact, let me see if I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, no, I'm right on it. God gave us that standard to live by in John 15:17. He said, these things I command to you, that you love one another. To love. What's it mean to love somebody? Well, Matthew 7:12 says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What did he just say there? He said, if you do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, you just fulfilled all of Scripture. You just fulfilled it. Well, Pastor, how do I base that in my everyday life? How does that affect me? How does that affect me if I'm asking God about a purchase? Well, here, let's look at it this way. Stop and think about it for just a few moments before you make the decision to sign on a line. What happens if I cannot make the payment? What happens? Right. But there's something that happens just before that. They start calling you. hey, Keith, are you going to make your payment? Keith's like, I lost my job. I don't have any money. Well, can we work something out? Which, by the way, if you call them and talk to them, they are so much more nicer than if they have to call you. So keep that in mind. But anyhow, so Keith gets off the phone, hangs up the phone, says, I can't believe the bank. Who do they think they are? Don't they know it's hard times right now? How dare they call me at home? That jerk talked to me like I was a dog. Well, that jerk has been treated like a jerk for the last 6 phone calls. And some of the people are the ones with satellite television. They smoke, they drink, they go out every Friday night, they do things, they go to movies. They eat out every other night, and then they tell the bank that they don't have the money to pay their car payment. But then they turn around and they say, how dare that person call me? Don't they know what stress I'm under? Don't you understand what stress that person's under? I would not want that job. I'd rather be the repo man. At least he gets to carry a weapon. If you're on the phone, all you got's a phone. And you're trying to be congenial with somebody, but they're calling you everything but what you are, a human being. So how does that affect me making my decision to buy a car or not buy a car? Keep in mind that if you do get into a hard time, I'm not saying you're going to, but if you do, how will you treat the person on the other end of the phone who's calling to know where your payment's at? How will you treat them? Will you treat them like a jerk and, I can't believe you called me, and then get off the phone and blast them? Who does the bank think they are? They think they own this house. They do. The bank does. I'm going to tear holes. That just irks me. Why would you spend all those years fixing that place up? And just because you fell behind the payments, you tore up everything you did. That irks me. What you put into that house belongs to the bank. And if you lose that house, you had better return it in at least livable condition, the way you were living. That don't mean you go in and you take out all the fixtures in the house. That don't mean you go in and call the family up and say, hey, my house is empty, whatever you want, come take it, the bank's getting it. The mindset, that's the world's mindset. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, not do unto others before they do unto you. The bank doesn't want your house, they want their money. You were the one who faltered. You were the one who broke your word. You were the one who didn't make the payment. And by the way, guess what? Banks will even work with you. Because again, they don't want your house. So when people come to, the bank wants my house. No, they don't. They just want their money. Because guess what? They're only going to get 2/3 of what they were supposed to have gotten. You were the one that signed the agreement. Pastor, what do you think about this? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the way you live your life. Treat everybody the way you would want them to treat you. Now, I'm going to say this. God may tell you to step out in faith on things. He told me to step out in faith to start this church. He told me to step out in faith to start a business. I did it. Were there rough times? Yeah. They were faith times. A faith walk requires you to totally surrender to God. You don't know where tomorrow is coming from. You don't know where the next meal is coming from. Sometimes you don't know where your next truck payment's coming from. It's called faith. And you mean, can I tell you? I'll just tell you flat out. I know that because I experienced some of that stuff. Bank call, hey, are you going to make your truck payment? Man, I ain't had no work for a month and a half. Well, what can you at least send us the interest? How much is that? Well, this much. I think I can do that. But I have to make sure I have groceries for my children. Okay. When I started talking with them, working with the bank, Mr. Waddell, you missed your payment last month. Is everything okay? Well, no, not really. I ain't had no work for a month and a half. Okay. I got serious and hit my face before God, and how I treated those people determined how fast and how God was going to move on my behalf. Because after that, what was it, a week later, I had more work than I could throw rocks at. They told me, if you can get more men, we'll hire you as a whole crew, and you can build these barns. We got enough work to keep you busy year-round. I was like, wow. Well, thank you, Lord, but is that what you really want me to do? It wasn't. So I didn't go that route. I know why. It had been awfully difficult to walk away from and my business was successful. I supported my family for 7 years. And the year that I quit, to shut the doors, was my most successful year up to that point. I was actually starting to make a profit. It's like, woohoo! I got a little extra money. This is what it's like not to have to scrimp and think about, well, do I treat my family to Sunday dinner or not? Do I pay the truck payment or go buy groceries? Of course, that last year it didn't matter. I'd paid the truck off. By the way, the IRS is the same way. Talk to them. Talk to those people like they're human beings and imagine what you can get. God moves on your behalf. Because when you're self-employed, you owe twice the tax. Because you're paying it. You're the boss. You owe 15% instead of 7.4. I'd still do it. Matter of fact, I'm still doing it. Our decision should be based on this. What and how would I want people to do to me? Do I want to loan somebody the money? And if I do, what's going to happen if they can't pay? Think about that. Put yourself in those shoes. And then say, okay, I'm asking somebody to loan me money. How should I expect them and how should I react if I can't pay? Hebrews 13:6 says, do not forget to do good. Above, do not forget to do good. We forget to do it sometimes. But the writer of Hebrews says, do not forget to do it. Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. Now that's a tough road to hoe. I got to do good to somebody who just shot my dog? Yeah. You got to forgive them. There's no way I'm going to be nice to that IRS agent. Do you know what kind of jerk he is? He's just reflecting the way he's been treated. He's just got a job. You want to get ticked at anybody? Get ticked at the government that you elected. Let's boil the thing right back down to where the blame belongs. Yeah. The 1913 16th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Everybody says, income taxes, that's unconstitutional. 16th Amendment. I didn't elect them, but somebody did. They made it constitutional. I don't like it. I think it should be repealed. Make the government start earning its own money. Pastor, we wouldn't have... Listen, we would be better off than we ever were. We had a good government at that point. They actually made money. They didn't print money and say, oh, we're out of debt. You just put us $1 trillion in debt. How do you want to be treated? Treat those that way. James 4:17 says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Why does God not come straight down and tell you everything you know when you ask him? God, you've asked him 10 times. God, what about this? Can I buy this? Do I buy this? Don't I buy this? Do I do this? Do I don't do this? Do you know why he's silent? Because he's already told you what to do. And you're refusing to do it. That's why he's quiet. He's a parent. God is first and foremost our Father. Stop and think about that. We always look at him, oh. That's why we have a different relationship with him than anything else in creation. We are the offspring of Jehovah. We forget that. We forget who our real father is. Yeah, my earthly father is Buck Waddell. But my real father is Lord God Jehovah, who created my DNA in Adam nearly 10,000 years ago. Thereabouts. That's my real father. Now, he's a heavenly father. He's not a physical father. He's not an earthly father like us guys. See, us, we have a tendency that when our children keep coming to us time after time, Daddy, Daddy, can I have this? Can I have this? No. 2 minutes later, Daddy, can I have this? I said, no. Come back. Daddy, can I have this? Oh, all right. God never changes his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, the third time I went back to God, he didn't say anything. Because you already knew the answer. Well, he didn't say anything when I signed the paper, so why isn't he making the payments? Because he told you not to before. You're the one who decided to do it. And when you do that, you take the blame. I give credit where credit's due, folks. You do good, praise God. But if you screw it up, I'm going to tell you, you screwed up. There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And if you keep going to God and saying, God, do I do this? Do I don't do this? Do I do this? And if you're still confused about it, yeah, exactly. Don't do it. Go according to the word. What did he say to do? To do good. How do you do good? You do unto others as you'd have them do it. In other words, you love them. Balance this out through love. How is this going to work out? Look at all the scenarios. And if you still got, if you got that check in your spirit, because your spirit's coming back to the word of God and starting to line up with his will, and you have that uneasy, run away from the situation. That's what Adam and Eve should have done. I believe God would have dealt with the serpent right there on the spot. In other words, I think there might have been a burn spot on that side of that tree. Might have been a hole, a smoldering hole where that serpent had been standing. But no, they used the word of God, didn't they? Well, Pastor, they didn't have a Bible written. The Word of God is the Word of God, whether it's written between those two leather-bound covers or whether it's spoken right now. The Word that came forth this morning, was it the Word of God or not? That's the Word of God. It is spoken from God. Well, it's not in here, Pastor. There's some people that just need to go out and choke themselves. Because what they forget is, listen, when Paul was writing Timothy, he was writing Timothy a personal letter. He was not writing Scripture in Paul's mind. To Paul, the only Scripture was the Law and the Prophets. We're the ones that made it that way. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying what I'm speaking today is the Word of God. You take it and put it into your life and you start utilizing it, God will do things in your life like you've never seen before. Because there's a greater revelation of things that are coming about. There's a greater revelation. I got revelation of other issues just reading the first seven verses of chapter 3. And they had nothing to do with chapter 3. They had to do with chapter 1 about creation. I said, God, why? Why did you just speak to the ground and tell it to bring forth cattle? Why did you speak and tell the ocean to start bringing forth fish? Why did you knock man out and take a rib? Well, it's something we know today that 150 years, 200, 300, even 2,000 years ago, they had no clue. But it's only been in the last 20 years, 20 to 25 years, that we know this information. And somebody in a medical professional probably know a little greater. It's a little thing called DNA. See, scientists today are trying to take DNA from dinosaurs and extinct plant life that they're finding and trying to recreate life. Now you say, well, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? Well, see, DNA for woman was in man. The Bible said he created them male and female. Why did he take a rib? Where do you think he got the DNA from? He took that rib. Well, then pastor shouldn't... Well, then that's why we have one less rib than women. No, we don't. We got the same exact... I got into this with a guy. He's like, well, women have one more rib than we do. No, they don't. We got the same exact number of ribs. A couple years ago, it was about a year or so ago, Angela and I were listening, or we read this article of this Christian guy. He was an editor or something of a magazine. And he was saying, I always wondered about that. He said, and then I was in a really bad car accident and had some bones severely crushed, and they were having to take some grafts. And he said, and they took a rib, and they took that rib, and they started making these bone grafts in my legs. He said, and a couple years later, I had to go back in for another surgery. He said, and I went back, and the doctor says, well, we're going to take this rib on this side. And he said, oh, I said, doctor, they've already taken that rib. He says, you don't understand. Ribs grow back. He said, the ribs will grow back. So you have a new rib there. He said, then I understood why God took it. Because I was like, I always went on the internet and pulled up pictures of skeletons. They're all there. We're not lopsided. And only a doctor is going to tell you the difference between a male skeleton and a female skeleton. I can't. I might get lucky and guess, but that's going to be it. It's going to take somebody who knows what they're talking about. I can tell you the difference between a male or a male cow, which isn't called a cow. I can tell you the difference between a bull and a cow. But when they're dead, they got to be alive for me to tell the difference. I might get lucky and guess, but that's going to be it. God has already told us many things. And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. We're not going to get more revelation until we capitalize on what he's already told us. Because if we're being disobedient to do what he's already told us to do, he's not going to tell us more things. He's not going to move us on into greater revelation of the word. We have got to keep doing what he said to do. We've got to quit questioning what he has told us to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, everything he requires of you, doesn't matter if you sit on this side of the church or you sit on this side of the church, everything he requires of you to do requires faith. It all requires faith. Well, Pastor, I don't see an end to the road. I don't see an end to this road yet either. So what? You just keep plugging away. I go about without questioning authority, and imagine that. Imagine how much greater your life goes when you don't question authority. Periodically, anybody ever sat back and think, okay, oh, to be back in high school again. There's times I've thought it. No taxes. Didn't have to worry about the mortgage, paying the electric bill, making sure there was food on the table. I didn't have any of those responsibilities. But then, like I've told Angela, I mean, I know a lot of people say, oh man, if I could just go back to my high school years, that was so great. Well, that's because that was their only life. 4 years was all they ever thought was life. Now, I wouldn't go back. I didn't have a job, so I didn't have money. I didn't have a car, didn't have a girlfriend. Didn't have a life. So would I go back? Are you kidding me? I just think that it would be good sometimes without not having to pay the taxes and all the other things that come along with being an adult. That's the only times that I entertain. The rest of it is like, no, I've got life so much better now. I own my own home. Back then we rented. Somebody could kick us out anytime they wanted. It's not fun. And guess what? I'm a whole lot stronger in the Lord than I was then. I was afraid of the dark for the most part back then. But I'm brave here. I'm brave. Yeah, you run through. Yeah, there's a reason I run through the dark. I think there's vampires out there to get me. Truth of the matter, the only thing out there in the yard to get me was my bicycle. Because I tripped over that thing many times. I wasn't running from the dark at this particular instance, but I was running in the dark. When I was visiting my grandmother in West Virginia, a squad showed up across the road. You know, all of us kids, we had to find out what was going on. You know, who's dying or what happened? It's dark, and me and a couple other cousins, we took off running. Why I thought I had to run between this trellis is beyond me. I thought, yeah, I'll be cool. I'll run between the trellis, you know. I was out running them pretty handily. I would have been better off if I had looked at the yard in the daytime, because as I went running across there, I found a wire that was diagonally hung for the roses that were growing up it. And let me tell you what. I think it went in about a quarter of an inch. I'm surprised there's no scar, but it left a nice line across my chest. By the way, my feet went up this way. Once I caught my breath, about a half hour later, I decided no more running in the dark like that. God is only silent when He's already told us what to do in a situation. Will He allow you to go ahead and make the wrong decision? Oh, yeah. He allowed Adam and Eve. He'll allow you. Reason being, He created you with a free will. I couldn't make Angela love me. If she didn't love me, it wasn't going to happen. There's no way I could make her love me. Couldn't give her gifts enough. Couldn't give her enough flowers. There's probably not enough chocolate in the world to make that happen. Great. I've been equated to a box of chocolate. A truckload, okay. So I could not do that. She had to love me of her own free will. And guess what? She loved me before I loved her. There wasn't nothing she could do to make me love her. Maybe shoot me, tie me up, and keep me in a closet someplace. But that's not going to make me love her. I had to love her of my own free will. And once I loved her of my own free will, you're not going to separate us. Because you know what? When you really love a woman, you'll kill for her. Anybody attacks her, I don't care. You know, let me give you an example. Go ahead and turn that off, Pat. How do I love other people through this? That's as simple as I can put it. God's told you to do something, you stand. And always remember, there's a right way into things and there's a wrong way into things. There's a right way to go into a house and there's a wrong way. Crawling through the window is not the right way into somebody's house. Going through the door is the right way. JD says that's intent. In other words, if you crawl through his window, you better be out, better be able to run fast, like Flash Gordon. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord, we thank you for 8 wonderful years. And Lord, we now stand at the helm of this year. And Father, we say, come on. We're going to take it all on. Lord, we give it to you. We surrender our lives to you, Father. And in this next year, Father, we know we will grow. We will become the men and women that you've created us to be. Father, that many lives are about to be changed just because you're using us. And now, Lord, I thank you for these people. Father, I pray that you bless them. Cause this word to change their lives, Father. Cause them to stop and reevaluate the direction they may be going. Because if you've not given, if you're not speaking to them anymore, Lord, we know now that it's because you've already told us what to do and we just don't want to do it. And Father, we thank you once again for the celebration we are about to partake of. Father, we ask that you bless the food that we are about to eat. Bless this fellowship. And Lord, we ask now that you bless each and every hand that prepared the food. Bless them immensely. Father, I thank you for each and every one of these people. I love them as you love them now. And Father, you and I both know that was not always the case. That I didn't love people. But you changed me. And Father, for those that are struggling with this, Father, may this, by this confession that I didn't like people, may this be a glimmer of hope in their lives that they can change. Father, that they can be used by you for your purpose if they'll only surrender. So Lord, we pray now that you bless each and every person in here. Cause the work of their hands to prosper this week, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.